This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All right, Mike, you did some fine work once again, cheering quarterback.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I don't know how Jalen Hurts, after last year, doesn't get tier one status.
First year he was in it, he was 30th, then he was 20th, and now he's 6th. I don't think there's any disrespect in being at the top of tier two. You had a great year.
Earlier on the show, MLB host and content creator, John Boy. Fox Sports college football analyst, Bruce Feldman. Coming up, host of Discovery's Survive the Reft, Nate Boyer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of our show on the air on the Roku channel. We are live every day between 12 and 3 Eastern time. Check us out if you missed anything over the first 2 hours of this show. Our talking and chopping up what happened at the trade deadline yesterday and what did not. John Boy joined us in hour number one. In hour number two, we had Bruce Feldman in studio for 45 minutes of full-on podcast-type chat, where we just chopped it up on so many other subject matters. The demise, it appears, of the Pac-12, although not yet. He had some interesting thoughts on how he thinks Dion's tenure in Colorado is going to go. Jim Harbaugh and Michigan and Northwestern and everything going on in the NIL world. Some stories that'll just make your hair turn white or fall out of your head for some of us, or both. At any rate, if you missed any of that, stay tuned right here on the Roku channel. There's also our podcast as well every single day, all 3 hours on the Cumulus Podcast Network. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Nate Boyer, our longtime friend, is coming up on this program. He's in a new show called Survive the Raft. He is the host. Singing a clip reminds me of my Great Escape days. When I put on the bomber jacket and try to be mysterious, didn't work for me. Hopefully, it'll work better for Nate.
Nate's got more hair.
Is that what it is? Is that what it is?
I don't know. You don't see a lot of bald hosts. It's like Steve Harvey and
yeah,
that's about it.
You think? Hold on a minute. You think I would have hosted a game show by now if I had hair?
Ooh.
Yes or no? Yes or no? Just spit it out.
I didn't think this would be the platform or the time to discuss this.
Why?
Yes.
You really think if I had hair?
Howie Mandel. It's like those are the only two kind of bald.
Ryan Seacrest has great hair.
Seacrest.
I was about to say. Wait a minute. Seacrest is not.
Yeah,
Seacrest is not out. He's not out.
Not bald. Not bald.
Or maybe he's got. You know.
Oh, you never know.
Great.
He's got the.
He went to lengths to take care of that situation.
Lengths.
If so, just say it.
Okay.
Chuck Woolery, incredible head of hair.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe Will Fortune.
Richard Dawson.
Would have came calling.
So you think would I be selling gold right now if I had hair?
I got to be honest with you. I never
Whatever Chuck's
thought
up
about
to these
that.
Days? Back never, in 2-2?
But if you had Sam Howell's hair on your head right now, man.
Hey, speaking of which. We here at the Rich Eisen Show, like every other top-notch national broadcasting media outlet, we receive from the NFL every single year the new headshots for us to use. So if like so-and-so is on the phone or so-and-so nice. Is being discussed, we need to see somebody's face on a graphic, like say the tiered quarterback system that The Athletic put out earlier this week.
Yep.
If we need that headshot, we go to the latest. And apparently, the new headshots for the upcoming NFL season arrived just last night. So everything that you're seeing from now on are the newest headshots. Why am I bringing all of this up? Well, because yesterday, when we were talking about the tiered quarterback system, and I just pointed out, because everything is about hair for me, Sam Howell had a huge head of lettuce that looked like bedhead. And we were told... I was just told by Mike Hoskins through Sean Mitchell, our digital, those are the two coordinating producers of this program, one from digital and one for our everyday right here in studio, that was 2022. And we have Sam Howell for 2023.
Please have a mullet. Please
and I have not seen this yet.
Uh-oh.
But here we go.
An unveiling.
Does he still have bedhead? Hold on. Before we see it, do you think it's the same? better or worse?
Well, it depends on your definition of worse.
But I'm well, worse looks, is just crazier bedhead.
I think it's going to look similar. Similar to what?
Chris, your guess?
Buzz cut.
You think it'd be better?
But not like you and I, Rich, but tight.
I'm going to say it's more elite. I'm going to say it's more like I'm a starting quarterback in the NFL and it's more elite.
I mean,
elite.
It does make sense.
Like, better than a supercut?
I think it's going to be,
reflect
you know.
Reflect his current position?
Yeah, it's going to reflect his current position on the depth chart that I'm more elite.
QB1.
Yeah, I'm not just like waking up, rolling out of bed and trying to make some plays.
Well, I've been in the playbook early.
Right now,
that's my prediction.
According to Ron, he's a possible backup.
Well, who knows? He said, don't sleep on Jacoby, yeah. Which is, again, fascinating that we're talking about bedhead for one quarterback and don't sleep on the other. And maybe Sam was sleeping on Jacoby Brissett, which is why his hair was like that. All right, now it's what a setup. I have no idea.
None of us have seen this picture.
I have no idea what's about to happen.
Put it up. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Put it up. Here we go.
Like I said, it's just pretty much the same.
I mean,
that's worse.
This is definitely worse.
Dude.
I mean,
he literally looked like he just woke up.
Just rolled out of bed. It's worse.
That's worse.
Can't be a starting quarterback.
Bust? Are you saying
you can't be a starting quarterback?
Yeah, it was far better in the 22. The picture
he's
on the left.
He's smiling on the left. On the right, it's just like you know.
You're not a starting quarterback, bro.
The picture on the right, he just got done talking to Ron, and he realized he might be QB2.
Sam,
and he's not happy.
You're not a starting quarterback.
Sam's got to go. RES Consulting has to step in here.
Yeah,
he's got to. First of all, smile like you mean it.
Just, or at least to give use me the a phrase, half, right? A smirk or something.
All right, smile like you mean it.
Something.
And then on top, we got to get some product, some pomade, something going on. Like, that's not elite. Like,
did he that literally just take his helmet off?
No, it looks like he rolled. That's his sleeping shirt. It looks like his sleeping shirt.
We need to fly Benny Blades to Washington.
Benny Blades.
Sam. We got to get Benny Sam Blade. On the phone.
Get him on the, yeah.
Let's call up the Commanders and say, hey.
Can we speak to your QB2?
Our top-notch bookers are going to call up the Commanders. Rich has to have Sam on. What do you want to talk about?
Well, very important issues.
His hair. And headshots. He's got to have shoulder, at least, when he's in the team photos. Oh, my God. It's worse. Right, Chris? Is it worse? It's worse.
Can't be a starting quarterback.
Okay, very good.
And have that be your headshot.
Wow. Didn't expect that.
In Price is Right terms, who won that then? I guess it would be me.
No, you said it would be the same.
I said it's going to be pretty much the same. That's pretty much the same.
It's worse.
It is. It's in the same neighborhood, but it's worse.
It's not a buzz cut like Chris said.
We have some nice parting gifts for you.
He's not a QB1 reflection like you said.
You got, and parting gift is a $10 gift certificate to Supercuts.
Well, that he already went there, obviously. That's a supercut haircut.
No, it's
Rich.
Not.
No. Oh, I go supercuts.
My bad.
Did John Lott cut his hair? Did his strength coach cut his hair?
That is great.
Didn't John Lott do that to Herbert that one year?
Gave
right?
Herbert a buzz cut.
Buzzed him.
But Herbert now has the elite quarterback hair.
Yeah.
Tier one hair.
He's got tier one hair. That's tier four hair.
Tier four.
You're never going to get a tier four with that lid. Okay.
Tier one hair.
Top-notch analysis here on the Rich
Eisen
Show.
Where else would you go for it, Rich? But here.
Maybe that's why Hurts is tier two. He needs a better haircut.
Yeah. I don't think so. I don't have anything to do
with
hair.
He's tight.
It's got to do with people who still don't believe in Jalen Hurts. I don't understand that there's somebody out there who's like, he still has to prove it to me. Proof? Okay. That's just jacked up. Jacked up. Our poll question today, at Rich Eisen Show on Twitter. Chris, you want to update our poll question?
Yeah, guys. Talking about worst to first and which team in each conference has the best chance to go worst to first. AFC Jets, 61%.
Over the Browns?
Over Browns, 17%. Broncos, 14%. Texans, 8%.
Let's start with stop.
Shout
there.
Out to the Texans.
Stop
fans
there.
For,
stop there.
Getting in on the poll today.
Stop there for a moment and then get to the NFC. Guess who I voted for in that poll?
I mean, you should have voted for the Jets.
I did not. I voted for the Browns. Look, they, as you know, have Burrow's number. Don't you know? Right? Didn't Burrow beat them for the first time
the
last
Browns
year?
Do, yeah, Browns,
okay.
Browns have played well.
And Burrow
Browns.
Might not. Who knows what's going on there? I mean, again, we're having this conversation on August the 2nd. We're several weeks away, right? Is it several weeks?
Several weeks.
I assume. The injury happened within the last week. There's several more to go. The Ravens, I think, are going to be improved. and the Steelers may be improved, but the Browns have a clearer path to back. Look, man, the Bills still play in the American Football Conference Eastern Division.
Yeah, but they're the only ones in that division who did not get any better this offseason.
False.
False. How did they get better? What improvements did they make to the roster to get better?
They took Damian Harris off your team and put him on theirs. They took Latavius Murray and put him on theirs. They're going to absolutely be better at the running back position.
Tier four running backs.
Bro, they are better at the running back position this year than last. And that kid, I keep telling you that they're drafted in Dalton Kincaid, is a difference maker. He is going to, with Dawson Knox and Damian Harris or Latavius Murray, give them red zone options for Josh Allen this year they did not have last year. They absolutely fixed whatever problems they might have been having in the red zone last year to provide, at the very least, Josh Allen with more of a mental state that is attuned to, I don't have to do it all. I'm not the one who's going to be running it from the 10-yard line in. Or I can't still do it. I don't have to. Absolutely an improvement, 100%. And the other thing that will be improved, one will think, knock on wood, the stuff that went on off the field last year are not going to happen to them again. And we all know. I don't need to go again, but I'll shoot from a shooting in the city. Damar Hamlin damn near dropping dead, and then snowstorms that caused them to have to go play in Detroit twice.
Do the quarterback and number one receiver like each other?
I, as you know, I'm going to take them at their word for it. I told you, I haven't spoken about it since then. Since the two of them came out and said, we're good. So.
Again, they don't necessarily need to like each other. They just got to respect
each
other.
I am pushing back that the Bills have not improved. So. I think the Jets still need to show it to me. I'm still going to have an attitude if I need to see it to believe it. The first six games, man. Oh. I spoke to my brother.
Oof. Yes, but they got better.
Last night.
But they got better this
offseason. I am a Jet fan because of this man. I am not a Met fan because I had also a brain as a kid.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
There you go.
Hey, bro, I was growing up when the Mets were trading away Tom Seaver and Catfish Hunter and Reggie Jackson come to town and they win a World Series. I'm sorry.
But you made the right choice. Don't
I did.
Get it twisted.
Oh, I did. But I stayed a Jet fan. Jeff said to me yesterday, he goes, you know what? I would take even 2-4 to start the season.
Ooh.
And then the schedule gets better and easier. Buffalo at Dallas, home for New England, home for Kansas City, at Denver, home for Philadelphia before their bye week. And then at the Giants, home for the Chargers isn't any easier. And then at Vegas, crazy things always happen when the Jets play the Raiders in the home of the Raiders. At Buffalo, home for Miami. That's the first time they face Miami is week dozen. And the Black Friday Amazon game. And, you know, that's my brother points out. That's when the schedule gets easier. Atlanta, Houston, Washington, Cleveland. And I'm like, well, you're also assuming last year's records will be ascribed to this year's teams. The Bills, that's why I thought Cleveland has an easier chance to win the division, go from worst to first in the Jets.
No one in your fantasy draft is taking Latavius Murray or Damian Harris.
I understand that, but as we know, it's reality football where running backs don't get paid because of how they are fantasy drafted. So, Damian Harris is a nice pickup, bud. And I went nice because that's a better adjective than solid. Damian Harris is a nice pickup. Latavius Murray is a solid pickup. Both good, but varying degrees of good. What's the poll results on our NFC worst to first possibilities, Chris?
All right,
as they currently stand at Rich Eisen
NFC
Show.
Worst to first, your options, Commanders, Bears, Falcons, Cardinals.
Yes.
Bears, 44%, Falcons, 39%.
And?
Commanders, 14%, and the Cardinals, 3% milk.
3%. I love the Red Sea people out there clicking.
Bird Gang this year.
Bird Gang?
Yeah,
Bird Gang. By the way, you'll need to go over that before the season because I don't want all those out there on X being confused and using old Twitter hashtags.
The Bears don't have one yet.
Dude, the Bears going from worst to first. Their owner is now in the AFC East, so that's what they're thinking.
That's true.
And they don't believe the Vikings will be improved, although I believe Brian Flores coming in to coordinate the defense will tighten the bolts there.
Yeah.
The Lions.
Gritty. I think
even Bears fans are just like, nice try, Lions. It's not your year. It's ours.
Go Pack, man. We're sleeping on Jordan.
I clicked on the Falcons. I think they have the easiest chance. Certainly since their 7-10 record.
They were right there.
Was almost good enough to win the division last year.
A couple of fluky games went against them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bijan?
Do you see Bijan is rooming with Desmond Ritter?
I saw that. I think
they are rooming together.
Smart move.
And Ritter is quizzing Bijan on plays. Oh, I think the Falcons. Who did you click on?
Falcons as well. Yeah.
What about you?
They have the best chance.
TJ?
Well, as you know,
I know you're not clicking on the Commanders.
I'm not on X, so I can't vote.
No,
I'm not.
Who would you have clicked on?
Well, it wouldn't have been the Commanders, you're right. I probably would have gone with the Falcons just because, like you said the other day, that division, you just don't really know what you're going to get out of this.
I'd like the Lions to win that division, and I know I went a little higher register, but I think the Bears will be improved, but to win the division, and everybody just assumes the Packers are going to be garbage. Because the owner of the Bears is playing in the AFC East right now.
I think do that at your own peril, I think.
They have some really good players there now.
Much improved. Obviously, a lot of it's on Jordan Love, but, you know, the preseason, you know, the training camp videos that you're seeing.
Oh, please. Romeo Dobbs mossing Jair Alexander.
Looks good.
Lit up my X feed yesterday.
We can't take any of these videos seriously, though. Oh,
still making plays and throws.
Do you see what Pickens did on Joey
Porter?
No,
you can take that seriously. You can take George Pickens seriously.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
But, I mean, we're just nitpicking. Like, if you got a bad throw, we're going to put, like, the ops of your team, we're going to put that out. Like, ooh.
Bijan had that one-handed catch over the weekend.
By the way, like, can we get that George Pickens video for the end of the program? I'm actually ordering up something from our staff before, if we can get it. Because that was done by somebody's phone.
It was ridiculous.
I want to see that because it did look to me. Was that Tomlin who went right up into Joey Porter Jr.'s face right after it was over?
Oh, let's see.
I want to hash that out. And I also want to be kind to our in-studio guest who's about to come out of the green room. Let's chop it up with Nate Boyer, one of our longtime friends of this program. Anytime he's got something going on in his career, he's got a place here to talk about it, and we will do that next. The host of Discovery's Survive the Raft, Nate Boyer, when we come back.
Are you currently enjoying the show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So, switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
It's time for kickoff, and the Believe podcast will get you ready for the new season.
How do you live through this as a Detroit sports fan?
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
You solidified your defense. You got better.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
If you don't do those things, then you're not even trying your hardest to win at football, and I don't know what we're doing.
There was a lot of great players on those teams that I was fortunate to be part of.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
All right, we're back here on the Roku channel, on our Roku platform, which is where you can catch on Max Survive the Raft that airs Sundays at 9 Eastern Time and Pacific on the Discovery Channel and Max. And the host of said program, Nate Boyer, is right here on the Rich Eisen. Good to see you, Nate.
Good to see you, Rich.
How are you, brother?
I'm good.
Great to see you.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look at your work.
your hosting work.
Let's
dude, you're a host
it.
Of a reality competition program. This is really cool, brother. It's called Survive the Raft, and here's Nate at work.
Hello, everyone.
Hey.
I'm Nate Boyer. Welcome. I'm sure you're all eager to hear about the journey ahead. But before I get to that, let me tell you a bit about myself. I served in the Army as a Green Beret and also was very fortunate to play football in the NFL.
Wow.
From the battlefield to the ball field, I've seen people come together from all walks of life and accomplish the seemingly impossible. But I've also seen teams turn on one another and fail. The question is, what kind of team are you going to be?
Jeez.
Well done.
All right, let's be honest here.
Let's please be honest.
I mean, straight up.
All right.
How many takes?
Oh, that was one take.
Come on.
Come on
now.
One take, Nate.
One take, Nate. You hear I was a damn Green Beret? There's only one take in that, too. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I see you.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was, you didn't even get to see what the show's about. That was just,
homage
to Nate.
All we've got, well, first of all, you're the host, and hosts of programs, host respects hosts, okay? But also, we can only show the clips that we get. So that's the one we got. So that's the one we showed.
No.
And again, Survive the Raft airs Sundays, 9 Eastern and Pacific on the Discovery Channel and Max. And then you can watch it right here on Roku on Max, right here on the Roku platform. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, part of the Rich Eisen Show live stream on Roku. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. For those listening, we just saw a clip of Survive the Raft, the host of Discovery's Survive the Raft, Sundays at 9 Eastern and Pacific, Nate Boyer here on the program. So what is this show all about? What do you got for me?
It's based on a social experiment from 50 years ago. This anthropologist named Santiago Genovese, he put 10 people on a raft from all walks of life, right? Race, religion, politics, you name it. Couldn't be more different. They were literally handpicked to disagree.
Okay.
And they floated from the Canary Islands in Spain to Mexico.
That's a long trip.
It's 101 day. It was 101 days across the Atlantic.
Yes.
And this is, you know, it's 1973, very divisive times. You've got coming out of the Vietnam War, Watergate, Roe versus Wade.
Oh, my gosh.
And then now it's 2023 and, you know, still, I'd say, relatively divisive times,
yes.
You know, and a lot of some of these similar subjects are coming back up, topics coming back up. And essentially what he wanted to see was, like, can these people put aside their differences and work together to survive this trip?
Yes.
And they ultimately did, but not without a lot of struggle and sex. They actually
on the raft. Oh my gosh!
Not on our show. But
no, I'm saying back in the day. Oh, yeah, I mean, it is the 70s.
So the tabloids got a hold of it, like, and they called it the sex raft.
Really?
So, yeah. It was
I
like
did
this
not
thing.
Know that.
And people didn't really know what the whole journey was actually about. So
is that where the phrase "get a room" was was born? We're all on the same raft. I mean, get a room. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I mean, it's a pretty big raft, but there's still not really rooms. It's 60 by 40 foot. Metal.
On your current program.
Yes. Well, we actually rebuilt the original to spec.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that one was called the Akali. We built the Akali 2. Mm-hmm. And we didn't float across the Atlantic.
You were sure it wasn't called the E. coli, and now you're just changing it to a different?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Just misheard. We misheard what it was actually called.
We need to change the pronunciation from the 70s. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I don't mean to interrupt. So now.
Yeah. I love a good dad joke. I mean, come on.
I'm full
of
them.
Your kids are in camp.
I say they're in camp, I know. And so I got to get all the E. coli jokes out before they come home. All right, so now you've recreated the
whole experience,
the boat.
Whole experiment, really.
Okay.
I mean, we rebuilt the raft. We were down in Panama in the Pearl Islands.
Okay.
So we're not floating across the Atlantic, but we are set adrift in the Pacific Ocean.
Okay.
And there's a set of challenges that, you know, come up throughout the series where, you know, these people have to work together and they're trying to earn money, you know. I mean, there's money at stake and all that. But at the same time, it's really about, at least for me, and I think a lot of people, it's really about, like, can people get over their stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, and just move forward as a group, listen to one another,
not always have to be the one with all the answers. And
so, is there a performing of tasks that there, and then I imagine a voting off process of
exactly, yeah, getting all that, and we gave them as much autonomy as we could, so they kind of make their own rules. It's almost a little Lord of the Flies element to it, where, you know.
I hope that stops at a water's edge, to use the phrase as well. Okay.
Yeah.
Understood. We'll see. Tune in Sundays at 9 Eastern Pacific. That is called Discovery for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, that's, and yes, there's new crew members introduced as we go, and they've got to decide, like, how I need to build the strongest team possible. But I also want to keep in mind that, you know, as we go along, I could be on the chopping block at any moment. Mm-hmm. So I've got to carry myself in a certain way. I've got to pull my weight. It's hard to do. It's hard to in life, I think, to figure out, like, where do I fit in the best? Do I need to be a leader right now? Do I need to be a follower right now? Am I being too much the gray man? Am I too big of a personality? Do people like me? Do they not? All these things are going through these people's heads. And then the discussions, the conversations that come up, the other stuff that comes up is it's pretty interesting.
Okay.
It's really interesting.
And you're the host of this thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome, brother.
It was awesome. It is awesome. I'm excited.
Great. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Nate Boyer here on the Rich Eisen Show. So were you like on a boat following the boat? And then you would, you know, like, because I've done the reality competition hosting thing before. And I know you have to sort of be stationed nearby to pop in every now and then, right?
Exactly.
So is that what you were doing?
Yeah. So I was on, you know, one of the islands for a good amount of it, but we'd come out sometimes on Panga boats, sometimes on this old military seacraft.
Yes.
A military ship. And I would come join them and, you know, and kind of meet up with them. And it became funny because every time I'm heading in and they see me from off the raft. Cause it's not like I just pop in. They're oh God, like what's now? Here comes Nate. They're like, guys, Nate's coming. Oh, and everyone's like, oh, P's and Q's, you know,
yeah, sure.
Let's stop arguing. And, you know, like I have any say in who stays and who goes. It's all up to them.
But, okay.
You know, pretty funny.
Do you have any say in your wardrobe?
What do you got? Next question.
What do you mean?
Oh. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, here's what I mean is that I had to,
I did they have a little bit.
Well, they wanted to dress me in like a bomber jacket at one point.
What's wrong with that?
Well, because there I am in Alcatraz. Okay, there I am in Alcatraz. I might still have that zip. Okay.
You look like you belong in that photo.
But here I am. I'm trying to look really mysterious.
You do look mysterious.
That's like the last word you can use to describe me. Is mysterious.
Was a dozen years ago.
Do you think I could be more mysterious now?
You get a little more gray in the beard. You have the scruff. Yeah. I think you're more mysterious now.
Furl the brow a bit more.
Because I saw your clip where you're coming out and you're, you know, and these contestants are all wide eyed and trying to figure out what's going on and they're excited. There you are. Did you choose the slicker? I mean, like, does this your choice there?
Okay, so the shirt underneath, first of all, I'll give a little plug here.
Go for it.
Trinidad Jeans, veteran owned company.
Very good.
Yeah, awesome.
Love it.
And then it was raining before we went out there, and then of course, right when cameras roll, it stops. The sun comes out. So I'm sweating bullets.
Did some intern have to run out and get you one of these slickers? Like last?
Yeah,
second?
No. I mean, well, actually, kind of. How did you know this?
I do this stuff. I don't know.
You're actually right.
I used to do this. Someone's going to get Nate. Nate's going to get wet.
It wasn't an intern. It was like one of the producers.
Really?
Ran because we're in Panama City there, and they just ran to whatever sporting goods store, and we're just like, what's a jacket without a huge logo on it, you know, and they found it and just ramped it. Seriously.
Jeez.
And we put it on because it was pouring and they're like, we can't wait. It might not stop raining. We're just going to shoot.
Yeah.
So then as soon as I walk out there, it stops raining and the sun comes out. Sweating. They're like, you can't take it off now. We already started rolling. So
like the local Ricardo's Sporting Goods.
Yeah.
So it is.
REI Panama.
I'm just trying to, how do you say that? You know, whatever the Spanish nickname for Dick is. You know, for sporting goods. That's where I was going.
Nice.
Rico's, maybe.
See, I'm just out of options right now. But that's basically what I do.
I just need to come home. Dad, stop.
Oh my gosh. But that was what I the Alcatraz episode, we would shoot stuff at like 4 or 5 in the morning too.
Oh wow.
Did you do that sort of stuff? Like 4 or 5 in the morning and stuff?
Or? Not really.
Okay, good.
They shot stuff, but I didn't have to be there that a couple times.
You're the host,
night,
you're the star. You're the star. Is that in your rider, Nate?
Wait, but why 4 or 5 in the morning?
Because this is when the game would be played.
Oh.
And the game, you had to escape from Alcatraz. And who? You
that
never
makes
knew.
Sense. That makes
like,
sense.
If the game was culminating at like 4 or 5 in the morning, you had to be ready. Right. I pulled an all night. That was my first all nighter since college.
Wow.
Was that night was in
it,
Alcatraz?
Was it sober?
Was it definitely sober? The college one most certainly was not. That was the annual tradition in Ann Arbor on St. Patrick's Day, sleep out overnight.
Oh man!
But at any rate, so fun. You must have had a blast though, right?
Yeah, I did. I had a really good time.
That is so cool.
I didn't know what to expect, and I learned a lot. I learned a lot from the experiment itself, from these people. Honestly,
yeah.
I think going into it, I was like, oh, I would crush this. I'd be fine. And then to have to see like stuff that was introduced to them and the way that they had to cope with it, and they got cameras in their face, and they're trying to be honest about their feelings and opinions about things.
Yeah.
In this day and age, that's sometimes tough, you know, no matter which way you, because somebody's going to attack you, you know. And it was just, it was cool to see, but it's also cool to see a lot of these people honestly kind of put aside their preconceived notions about one another. And maybe it took some time, but after a while, they're like, all right, I actually understand where this person's coming from. And, you know, maybe I don't got it all figured out.
I got Nate Boyer here in studios again. Survive the Raft, airing Sunday 9 Eastern and Pacific on the Discovery Channel. And Max, what was your training camp experience like, Nate, back in the day?
It was good. It was
Seattle, right?
Long snapper, so it was a little. It's easier for the specialists.
I'm sure it is.
I mean, I did go out. I would be one of the scout team, you know, receivers or DBs when they're doing the walkthrough stuff or the jog through stuff. If it's full speed, I'm not. Why would I be out there?
Right.
I'm not keeping up with anybody.
Right. Exactly.
But no, it was great. I mean, yeah, it was Seattle. The best time to be in Seattle is from May to September, and that's when I was there. So it was gorgeous. The training camp, the facilities there, and then obviously like the team. I mean, that was right after they came off back to back Super Bowls. So like the personalities from Marshawn and Richard Sherman to, you know, Doug Baldwin and Jimmy Graham had just signed with the team.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner, endless, you know, Michael Bennett. It was cool. It was a really cool experience.
Well,
I was very lucky.
And again, I'm sure they must have known your story coming in. Like you weren't just any ordinary regular long snapper coming in. Did any of them come up to you and start talking to you about your life, you know, with what you did in Texas and obviously serving our country at the same time?
Yeah, no, they did. They did. The coolest moment, though, was actually I only played in one preseason game and then I got cut like 3 days later. But the coolest moment for me was before the game. So first of all, I remember warming up at midfield snapping, and I'm nervous.
In Seattle.
In Seattle. Yeah, okay. I was in Seattle. We were playing the Broncos, and it was Peyton Manning's last season. So they went on to win the Super Bowl that year.
Mm-hmm.
And Peyton's standing right next to me warming up, and I didn't know it because I was just in my own head and in my zone trying to, you know, just prepare. And I like stop and kind of look up and take the stadium in. And it was raining there too, of course, but the sun was out. And I look over and I see Peyton standing there throwing the ball. And I just like took a breath and I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really cool. And then we get in the locker room. The equipment manager asked me if I want to lead the team out of the tunnel with the flag before the game, which I got to do in college. And I was like, yes, of course. It's almost like he knew I was getting cut in 3 days. You know, he was like, yeah, it's going to be your one chance, bud. Enjoy it. So I did that and I went out, and then, you know, then they played the anthem, and, you know, for me being in the military and all that, and I carried my best friend's casket draped in an American flag. So those symbols, you know, they just mean something very special to me. And
sure, they're more than symbols.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
for
obviously.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. Definitely.
Right.
And so the song starts playing. I started crying, and I didn't know if anybody caught that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, a camera caught it, and I'm an ugly crier, so that was pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
But after it was over, you know, I like turn around and all those guys I mentioned and a bunch of others from the team just came up and like hugged me and were like, they all like recognized it, noticed the moment. It was really special.
How many tours did you do?
I did three. Three. I went to Iraq once and Afghanistan twice.
And each time you would come back and go play football at Texas? Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, my last two deployments were while I was in college at Texas. So I would take my finals early and leave in, you know, like late April, mm-hmm. and then come back the first week of August, right before training camp. Admiral McCraven, who was the SOCOM commander who planned the Bin Laden mission, you know, he was a Navy SEAL, and then eventually became the chancellor at UT. But when he was still the SOCOM commander, he had ran track at Texas back in the day, and he knew I was in the National Guard at the time, but still in the Special Forces, and he made sure, because he thought it was important that I still got to, you know, live out my American dream of playing football, that I would make sure I would get back in time for training camp, which was really cool.
Was it ever a time where you are on a serious mission, for the lack of a better phrase, in theater, and then the following weekend you're long snapping? Like that happened
literally my last deployment, which was in 2014, where that's you know, it's late in the war, and I was in Afghanistan, and not long after, I think October was when we went purely to a train advise assist mission, at least with the Special Forces, but this was in late July. And you know, we had a mission with the Afghan Special Forces. Mm-hmm. And we went out with them into this place where we knew there was a lot of, you know, the enemy were kind of bedded down because no one had gone in this valley for quite some time. And so we had a good idea that we were probably going to get into it a little bit that day. Mm-hmm. And we roll in. As soon as we roll in, like, mortars were like full on attacked. And I was on the tailgate of one of the Humvees on one of the machine guns, and just laying down suppressive fire. So the other, like mostly the Afghan Special Forces who were leading this raid, essentially, could go, excuse me, mm-hmm. could go into these buildings and, you know, try to find these people. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, like, there was sniper fire from across, from pretty far away, that I could see the muzzle flashes. And then those rounds started hitting the vehicle I was in. And my first thought was, like, I got to get back and long snap. Like, don't, if you're going to just wing me, you know, if I'm going to get hit just a little graze, I can handle that, but don't, I don't really want to play football, which is so weird and maybe even a little like selfish, but that's just where my,
of course,
that's where my head first thought was. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to die. Or it was just like football. I was like, oh no, I got to get back and long snap.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And unfortunately, I did not get hit. We did lose. We lost one of the Afghan captain that day. Oh. Yeah, he was awesome too. He was such a great leader. He passed, and the first two people that were on the scene trying to treat him were our team sergeant and our medic. So Scotty and Tommy, if they're listening somehow, they knew who they are. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, just to see that, even though they weren't able to ultimately save his life, the fact that they were trying and they were putting themselves in great danger to do that was just like that partnership. And I think I'm not trying to plug the show again.
No,
but
go
like,
for it. No, please.
This is why it
go
makes sense it, for me to host this show, I think, because those experiences with the American soldiers and the Afghan or Iraqi soldiers and the bonds that we develop, even though we have nothing in common except for we're fighting a common enemy from a culture and custom and religion, all that stuff, very different, you know. But we get past it because we find all these other things in common. And at the end of the day, you know, what we all want, I think, as human beings is, we want to feel safe. We want what's best for our family. We want to make a difference. We want to belong. You know, we want to matter. And they were the same. It was the same, you know. And so seeing that and being a part of that, as much as that day was, I mean, we did a lot of really good stuff. And it was a successful day by and large, but you never want to lose anybody.
Of course.
You know?
Of course. So within days of that happening, you're in Austin,
like a week,
Texas
week
as
later,
a college kid back.
In the dorms.
Dude, in the dorms.
Well, this was
wow,
only because
man.
Before my senior year, I came back. I didn't have an apartment at the time. I had my stuff in storage. And in that training camp, that was the first year Charlie Strong was there. Coach Strong wanted all the players, regardless, during training camp. Mm-hmm. We're all staying in the dorms. I'd never lived in the dorm before. So I was 32 at the time, 33 at the time. And I was in the dorm.
You're a 33-year-old man in a dorm, fresh back from a mission in Afghanistan. Ready to snap for Texas.
Ready to snap for Texas. Yeah.
What? I mean, and prior to Charlie Strong, it was Mac Brown, right?
Yep, Mac Brown. Yep, who's still a great friend and he's been so supportive of everything. He really was supportive of the MVP movie and of MVP, which thank you again for
being part of that. You, no problem. I think we should probably not talk about a movie, make sure that you and I are cool with, you know, with all the strike and all that sort of stuff that's going on right now.
It was well before the strike.
Understood.
Yes, you're not wrong.
I've got your back, basically. I know that's what...
Thank you, Rich. Well, we can talk about MVP, emerging vets and players.
Thank you
for supporting that.
Of course. So about merging vets and players before we go here. What is the latest on that? You and Stray and obviously Glaze, yeah. Jay Glazer. So what do you got
for
me on that?
It was great. It's been great. We had our first gala in Dallas, which is one of our newer chapters and one of our biggest chapters. We got 8 mm-hmm. now. And, you know, Jay went up there and absolutely crushed it, you know, brought the house down to kind of talking about.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
He only knows one speed.
Yeah, Jay. Glaze.
Yeah, Glaze. Yeah, no, right. He knows, right, exactly.
No, but it's been great. Yeah, so we've got our most recent chapters in Phoenix, and so that was cool during Super Bowl week this last year to be able to do some stuff, and it's been going really well. So we're poised to open some more, and it's tough times right now, like economically, you know, it's mm-hmm. been hard. So that nonprofits take a lot of that hit because these companies that are laying people off because they have to, or it's just a matter of bottom line things. Sometimes it's like they can't justify giving to a charity if this is also happening at the time. So that's been hard, but MVP has been super strong.
That's awesome. Yeah. And so folks, again, I keep forgetting that it's merging vets and players.
Merging vets and players. .org. Vets and players.
Vets and players. I knew that. Okay. Vets
and by the way, Denver and AJ, who you had sitting right here one day, they love you, man. And they said hello.
Will you please tell them I said hi to you? They can come back.
They're listening. I promise you.
Excellent. Well, you know, come back. Those, I know they sat in on a show a couple years ago. So.
Yeah.
Come back anytime. Yep. So vetsandplayers.org. And these are sort of people who come back home or have left the sporting world together.
Yeah.
Getting together, working out, and having support group conversations together.
Exactly.
And pulling each other through whatever needs to happen.
Combat vets and former pro athletes. And
it's pretty wild.
You know, just, finding that purpose again when they lose a uniform. You know, obviously it's a different uniform, mm-hmm. but different stakes, you know, war and playing sports, 100% different things. But the locker room, camaraderie, the structure, all those things very similar, and typically that ending at a pretty young age is very similar as well.
Nate, you're the man at Nate Boyer 37 on Instagram and Twitter, right, Chris? On Twitter. Very good. We're gonna make
Twitter,
sure
guys.
Survive the Raft, available on the Discovery Channel and Max, 9 Eastern and Pacific on Sunday nights, and right here on Roku as well through the Max stream. Great to see you. Anytime.
Love you, brother.
Right back at you. Yeah. Nate Boyer, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll be back to wrap up this show in a sec.
What's great, man, are these, you know, we do a lot of NFL, NBA shows on Family Feud for celebrity.
Right.
It's great, man, when regular people discover that celebrities don't know nothing. They don't. You think because a person is famous, they know more. They actually know less.
Yeah.
They know less than anybody else because they're exposed to less. Rich people don't know how much milk costs. You get out of touch, man. And when they come on Celebrity Family Feud, you find out how out of touch they are. They don't know anything, man. Like, one of the questions for the NFL team was, and we were asking a guy running back for the Packers, can't think of his name, but the question was, complete the sentence, strip, and you spoke, you know, like strip mall,
strip
poker,
strip sack,
could be even strip sack. Yeah. I said, name, complete the word strip. He said, purr. Strip her. I went, hold on, man, I quit breathing. How is that your point of reference to complete the word strip? Purr. P-E-R. That was it. I was done. That was one of my great moments.
And again, you just walk away and you realize it in the moment, like, okay, this is it. And I'm going to let this thing go.
Hey, after the show, he asked me, he said, Steve, is there any way we could edit that out? I said, sir, we're not editing that out. Matter of fact, we're going to embellish it. You're going to say purr so loud. Purr.
I love Steve Harvey. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for all of our archive. Fun stuff with Nate Boyer right there. What a story, right? I mean,
yeah, stories. Yeah.
Wild.
I know, stories. Always great to. And look at him. He's a reality show host now.
Is there anything worse than being in your mid 30s and living in a dorm room?
That's why some of these players don't want to go to training camp.
Yeah, right.
Sounds pretty terrible.
You're 33 years old and you're in a dorm room.
And imagine doing what Nate did to the highest level of what he did his service in. And then you got to come back and you have somebody yell at you for not running fast enough. It's like, bro, you don't understand the amount of training I just
went. I know. But I imagine, you know, yeah, someone cut him a little bit of a break. Although maybe his training, he would be running fast to begin with.
Nah, that's a good point.
Okay, we always make fun of training camp videos and people reading into them something that doesn't need to be read into.
Not really.
Until it's time to read something into it. And a perfect example, all right, last year was the Dolphins showing Tua to Tyreek Hill, and the ball was like fluttering in the air.
And it was underthrown. Why would you post that?
And that led to Salty Tua, right? Led to the birth of Salty Tua, and then the birth of Tua, Salty Tua, showing, hey, if I stay healthy.
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
Damn straight. That was a Salty Tua. When they showed another pass and it looked great, he's like, I don't know about you, that looked like money. Remember that? Okay. So we read stuff into it, and maybe it wasn't appropriate to read into it. So what to make of this video of George Pickens, last year's sensation he was. Yeah. I mean, he came on a little strong at the end. He had that touchdown, game-winning grab that I was fortunate enough to call on Christmas Eve night to beat the Raiders and Derek Carr's Raiders career, unfortunately.
Known for putting DBs on their back.
Last year, he had a preseason catch, right? Didn't he have one of them?
One-hander, I believe.
He's very physical, man.
So they're hoping that that will translate into a big season. Here he is on this year's first pick of the second round. Remember, the Steelers held on to that choice and chose Joey Porter Jr. Check out this video. They're going at it. And he just hands him the ball. And one of the coaches just gets right in Joey Porter's face as he just stuck the ball in Joey's hand, who flipped it back at George. And that's it. Now, I'm wondering, what would the coach get on Joey Porter Jr. for? I have a guess.
Okay. Throwing the ball back at him?
Yeah.
Let the 15 yards be on him, the receiver.
Right.
Because this is offensive.
What was it, the rest of it? Yeah, I mean, what is it? The rest of it is technique?
I guess. Don't let him undercut you.
There's nothing you can see. I mean, look, that's great coverage. This man just made a phenomenal catch.
He's so good, isn't he?
He comes back to the ball, makes a one-handed grab. It was stupid.
Do I need to revise my top five under the radar, underrated difference makers in the NFL this year?
Kenny Pickett season.
It's the other boy.
Oh, George Pickens season.
They got a lot of weapons, man. Deontay, Freiermuth, Najee.
Allen Robinson.
Well,
there.
I mean, he's just on the old milk carton of the National Football League for about four years.
He's back in, you know, Pennsylvania.
No, I got it. Oh, I understand. We are.
The West Coast.
No, you didn't mention we are for the kid who just got beat, did you?
Well, I didn't want to bring that up because he didn't really get beat. I mean, it was kind of pass interference offense.
All right, so what do we glean out of this? Because everybody's gleaning. Go ahead and glean.
Oh, a top five season coming from George Pickens.
Okay, glean.
Oh, Joey Porter Jr.
It's apparently been very good.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I don't glean anything from that.
I glean that the lesson there is if somebody taunts you, do not give him anything back. Do we have time for the Belichick soundbite?
Oh,
okay. Scott Pioli got Bill Belichick on NFL Plus today.
That's all
Plus,
and he asked Bill the burning question.
So training camp, another thing that happens is sometimes you have speakers, sometimes you have movies. This summer's two big movies, Barbie.
That wouldn't be one of them.
Wouldn't be one of them. Okay, Oppenheimer's out.
I haven't seen that. That'd be interesting.
Well done, Scott.
Barbie.
Barbie's out.
Well, Bill strikes me as a History Channel, you know.
Yeah.
He's probably into that.
He's interested in Oppenheimer. Barbie, what's up?
Bill's not living in the Barbie world.
I don't know. We all live in the Barbie world, Chris. We just have to either realize it or not.
I'm not realizing it.
I don't know. So I guess cross Bill off of a possible Ken list. Right?
I could see Bill having a screening of Oppenheimer at the facility.
Bill's not doing the
what if somebody told him that the movie was about Barber, Rondé, and Tiki? What about that?
Bill strikes me more Barber? Of a Rondé guy.
Rondé? Yeah, I'm sure. He's a Rondé guy.
Yeah.
He's a Rondé guy. Well done. Scott Pioli using the rare Bill Belichick real estate with a microphone and Barbie. A one-on-one situation for the question we needed an answer to. No Barbie. Thinking about Oppenheimer.
Thinking about, well, it's interesting.
Interesting.
It's 3 hours, Bill, so.
I know. Hey, you know. The Patriots about to blow this thing up.
Hey.
Too soon?
For over three decades, nobody has had a wrestling career like Arn Anderson. Conrad Thompson gets all the stories with Arn.
After watching AEW's Double or Nothing, Amy wants to know, what does dinosaur taste like?
It ain't chicken. It's like biting into a sinewy charcoal briquette.
Ah.
But chewy.
Oh, like wow, that's disgusting.
Yeah, sure is.
Check out Arn every week, wherever you listen.